right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from Baker's Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this
place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylon to bring us down to possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because the guy reads comics he can't...
I'll fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse down here running up.
Oh, I'm ready.
What's up, bitches?
How's it going, gentlemen?
How's Hello. It going?
I clearly have little to no voice.
Yes, I hear that.
I've got the plague.
Hello
I've
there.
Got con flu 3 months late.
Oh, you have con flu.
No, you got kennel cough from your child.
But I don't really have a cough
Not
yet.
It's in the mail.
It's
though.
Developed. It's
in the. It's in the mail.
It hasn't quite made it fully to the lungs yet.
It's on order.
It's at CVS for 24-hour developments or whatever.
It's on layaway. I haven't made the final payment yet. It's put out, but I will have it in time.
You're gonna
for Christmas.
Pay with your ass.
Of course, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 312.
You sound like Demi Moore.
The last episode. Before the next one.
Yes, that's it. That's it entirely.
Because we will be taking a two-week break.
2 weeks?
After this week's episode.
God, man.
Because Wednesdays are the holidays. Is really what it is.
It is.
Christmas Day, New Year's Day, both Wednesdays this year.
Yep.
We're entitled to a two-week break.
So, yeah, Christmas is our normal tape day. And then, yeah, New Year's Day.
Right.
Where, at least Scapegoat will be recovering.
Right.
From an evening of drinking and debauchery the night before. So.
Nothing wrong with drinking or debauchery.
I'm just saying.
Why
you give me the stink eye, Scapegoat?
Not at all. You're revealing too much to the audience.
No.
Let's pull back the curtain. Are we going to a wedding on New Year's Eve?
And there will be much drinking and debauchery.
So there you go.
It's just a joke. That's all.
All right. Well, I think we could probably move forward with the show.
Okay.
Unless anybody has anything
else.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Star Wars Attack Squadron.
Yeah. I'm underwhelmed.
Well, the trailer didn't give us a whole lot.
Is it an MMO kind of thing?
But it is online.
Okay. Right?
It's a free-to-play online space combat game.
Which, as we all know, means awesome quality.
Where players customize iconic Star Wars ships and engage in high-velocity 16-player dogfights. So I guess it's kind of like an MMO, but I don't know.
But it's not console, so.
It's not console. I also haven't seen, I don't know that they've released mechanics. Like, do you create a character each time you play? Is it Like each time you play, you get a ship. You get to customize it and play. Do you get stats that increase if you play?
Well, I imagine you
over
would,
time.
I imagine you would. Yeah, that's what I think it would be.
Well, then it is sort of like an MMO, but I don't know. I think it leaves. I think that leaves a lot too.
If it's free to play, then it's just gonna not be that great.
Yeah, well, it could be. I mean, you know what though? It could be. It could just be kind of dumb fun. That's why I think it's less likely that it's some sort of. Maybe it's not like stat based or anything. Maybe it's just stupid fun.
Maybe.
Of course, in other Star Wars related news, if you have your calendars out, 2 years from today.
Yes.
Episode 7 hitting theaters. Yep. So quit your job, buy a tent, get online.
Really?
I understand that.
No one's online.
I thought.
You know what? Let me
I
put
thought
this
you were
going to
say there are
if
marshmallows.
There is a news report. If there's a news report of someone online, even a year before,
yeah.
I will personally go
and interview
that person.
Okay.
Wherever they are, I will go and I will do it.
Fair enough.
I can't wait to scour the news.
to find it.
And one gentleman in Tokyo waiting outside the line because it's the 1930s.
And scapegoat will drive me.
Oh my God, the horror.
Yeah. The horror. How are you braving the cold?
Speaking of breaking the cold.
And the nuclear fallout.
Totally off topic, but did you hear, was it yesterday or Monday night? Some woman, it is in New Jersey, some woman died because she locked herself out of her car and her home, and she sat in her backyard and died of hypothermia.
That's just dumb.
Stupid, right?
That's
was she 80?
Dumb.
No, I don't, you know, she was in her 40s, she was like 48.
Was she retarded?
Not that the news story indicated.
Wrong answer, sir. Clearly the answer is yes.
I mean, at that point, break a window, right? Yeah, maybe you don't want to go to a
neighbor's
house.
It would be cold inside.
Oh, come on. You throw up a blanket and some surrender.
You're just delaying the inevitable? Is that what you're saying, yeah. Scapegoat?
I'm pretty positive you could survive the night in your house with the heat on with a busted window. I'm just saying. But anyway, that's
a little
completely
ridiculous.
Off topic. Trailers. We have a few more.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah.
Let's all go
to the
lobby.
So this, of course,
lobby.
Is the follow-up to
Get
Rise of the Planet of the
snack.
Apes. Was that the original?
Yeah, yes. So Rise of the Planet of the Apes was really good.
Oh, amazing.
From what I understand, I've still never seen it.
You should.
Amazing.
You shouldn't.
And you know why it was amazing? Because they did kind of the opposite position of the Charlton Heston movie. Right? Because in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, you kind of see how the apes get started sort of on their way. In this, now, mind you, this is a new universe, but they paid more than homage, more than homage to the original film in many different ways.
Is it a new universe?
It
Cause
well,
I always
technically,
thought, I thought Rise
yeah.
was touted as a prequel.
It's touted as a prequel to, in a sense, to what we would know as the Charlton Heston Planet of the Apes
right.
movies. However, that's not how the Planet of the Apes becomes the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
In the Charlton Heston universe.
Are they just retconning it?
Yeah, kinda. But they're also setting up the Charlton Heston. They're setting up the Charlton Heston movie.
Okay.
Even in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Because on the TV,
right,
in the background, you see there's a news story about Colonel Taylor's
right.
ship taking off for deep space mission,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's Charlton Heston's character. That's what their mission was, and so on and so forth. So they paid homage. They paid homage that way.
Right.
But there's a number of things throughout, you know, calling the ape Caesar, and Caesar in the Charlton Heston universe is the ape that starts the revolution that causes, you know, the apes to become the dominant species
right.
in that universe. So there's all these little things like that happen in the first one, but we're in uncharted territory really at this point.
Sure.
Because the what they didn't do in the 60s was have a virus kill half the population.
Right.
Half the population was killed by nuclear war.
Right. Okay. Right.
Well, when they were trying to annihilate the apes who had taken over the planet, who were taking over the planet. So we've diverged here because the apes ran away in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Spoiler from fucking 3 years ago.
Right.
The apes got smart using the chemical thing that was created by James Marsden, which right. I think is ironic.
No, and, it wasn't James Marsden, was it?
Not James, James Marsden. Franco. Yeah. That's why it's ironic.
Yeah.
And they go away, and the disease, the bacteria or whatever it was that they used to carry the smart drug,
right,
actually becomes badly infectious to humans. So what we see in the new trailer is that it's been, did they say 4 years?
Eight years?
It's
they said it's been 4 years since we fought the virus, and then 4 years that we fought each other.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know. I am assuming that means 8 years.
So if there's 8 years that have passed between the first and second movie, and this virus and presumably some sort of war with the apes, I guess, has...
No, I think it's a human war.
Really?
Because they say we've been fighting each other.
Well, whatever the... Whatever
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know.
We don't know.
Well, it's been 8 years since the first movie. That much is certain. And humankind is definitely on the down low.
Right.
And they have Commissioner Gordon is apparently trying to rally them together and lead them in some way. And Caesar has face paint on and, you know, like...
Let me ask you a quick question, because I don't recall. In Planet of the Apes, the Chuck Heston verse, are humans responsible for creating the apes?
No. In the Chuck Heston universe...
They just evolved, didn't
they? The apes, yeah. They took more evolved apes. Well, don't forget. So it's the 60s. So the best that they can do to get a kind of evolved-looking ape is to dress a smaller guy in an ape suit.
In an ape suit, right.
So... You can't have what you have now with the CGI is what they should have looked like in Planet of the Apes.
Right, right.
You know, what they should have looked like at least in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, which was when they were still mostly ape-like. By the time, and it's how many, 1,000 years later, whatever it is, when Chuck Heston lands on Earth, but it's not, spoiler alert from 1968. 1,000 years of evolution makes them much more human-like, but in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, which is the one where, the one where Caesar takes over. I'm not going to go into the whole history of Planet of the Apes, but the one where Caesar takes over, they were a lot more ape-like.
Okay,
you know, like still walking more hunched over, even on, you know, like kind of that gaping fours walk. What we have now, though, with the CGI, and Scapegoat mentioned this right before we started the show, the CGI is spot on.
Scary.
I know.
Fucking creepy.
Exactly. But that's what they should have looked like, in my opinion.
Okay. So the trailer looks good.
Now, let's say they do this movie, and then they say, all right, so now we're going to deal with the Chuck Heston character for the next movie, and it's 1,000 years in the future. They should look more like, not exactly, but they should look more...
Humanoid,
because they will have evolved 1,000 years at that point. So you would imagine they would look differently than these apes look.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but just to say that again, goddamn, that CG looks.
Yeah, I mean, and is it Andy Serkis?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Andy Serkis.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he's the only person from the original cast.
Yeah, Andy. Well, yeah, right. Andy Serkis is. I mean, the facial...
Underrated.
His facial abilities, right? The emotion that he can convey.
His facial abilities?
And his facial muscles is crazy, right? And you notice it because he's mostly a CGI character.
Yep.
Right? I can only think of one thing that I know off the top of my head where he was both CGI and Nazi. In Kong, wasn't he a dude? But he was also Kong.
Also, in what you call it, he played himself... not himself, but he played a human character. Was... The Prestige.
Oh, yes.
He played Tesla's assistant in The Prestige.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So what other trailers do we have moving from Dawn?
We got...
Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Boring.
Which is a bad trailer, but I'm still really excited for it.
Why? 2 minutes of old footage. Well,
here's what's bullshit about it, right?
Okay.
It is about a minute and a half of archival footage of like the moon landing and shit. So who cares? But... the music and the fact that it says from Christopher Nolan makes me excited for the movie anyway.
Well, I mean,
and I'm mad at myself for being excited over what is literally 20 seconds of footage of Matthew McConaughey driving away in a pickup truck. But
so I have no interest in that trailer. The only part of Interstellar that is still holding my interest is Christopher Nolan's name. If it wasn't for that, I don't know.
Do you know what it's about though? Neither does anyone else.
Yeah. But I don't, but I have. But I have
the next frontier.
I have a lot of faith and Christopher Nolan.
So do I.
Except for that last Batman movie. But other than that, I
You mean the Man of Steel?
Yeah.
He didn't do it?
I didn't say Man of Steel. I said the last Batman movie.
I know what you said. We're just moving past this again.
All right. So what else? Superman. What other trailers do we have? Is there another one?
We got that. We had 22 Jump Street.
The
first one was cute.
Yeah, and the second one looks just as cute.
You know what I really want to see? And we haven't talked about it on the show before, but I keep on seeing the trailers. Actually, two things. The Wolf of Wall Street.
I want to see that.
I really want to see.
That was Christmas
but
Day.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, I think I really want to see too. I like Ben Stiller.
Yeah, it looks good.
I want to see it too, but I'm hesitant. I don't know why. That trailer is so icky feel good. The music they chose and the whole when they have the Sean Penn thing like beckoning from the photograph.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I think that makes sense.
That's why
sense.
I want to see it. Yeah.
I think it kind of makes sense. It's not that I don't want to see it.
It's not that I don't want to see it. I don't know exactly how I feel about it.
And I like Ben Stiller. Even in his ridiculous roles, I like Ben Stiller.
What's his ridiculous role?
Zoolander is a ridiculous role.
Okay, point.
All right.
Done.
good point.
You need mention no other.
All right. Can we move forward with the news then?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's talk about...
Do you want to start with the fact that there's going to be 100 Spider-Man movies?
We could start with that. That's not where I was going to start, but
okay.
Sony has announced 2 Spider-Man spinoff films.
Woohoo!
Venom.
A villain movie.
And The Sinister Six.
A villain movie.
Right. So here's my opinion on both of those. You can't do either of those movies without Spider-Man. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense. I mean, you could do it without Spider-Man. It doesn't make sense.
What?
It doesn't make sense.
Well, did they say that Spider-Man won't be in it?
Right.
Well, they're going to do that.
Well, where are they establishing Venom?
I'm guessing.
End of this movie.
That's what I'm thinking.
You think he's going to be an end of
Amazing
end of
Spider-Man?
Two or end of three?
End of two.
He's probably going to...
End of two. He's the villain for the third movie.
Okay, maybe.
And he's established.
If that's the way they go, which, why would you fucking do that again? Why?
You don't learn because Sony doesn't learn.
But if that, I mean, at least that makes sense. Then the other big question is I have is, well, who's the rest of the Sinister Six? We know 4.
5. Of them.
We know 4.
5.
Who are 5? We know
Electro,
Vulture, Electro, and
Goblin.
And Goblin, that's 4.
No.
And Doc.
And Vulture, Ock,
Goblin, and
Rhino.
Oh, you think Rhino's going to be part
Absolutely.
Of the 6?
Really?
Yep. It's Paul Giamatti.
Well.
Who would it be?
Well, he's not a member of the original Sinister Six.
Irrelevant.
They're going to bring back, I think they're bringing back Lizard.
No way.
I've heard Lizard might be in there. And Lizard, I think, was part of the Six at some point. Two of the characters that are part of the original Sinister Six are 2 characters that I've been saying need to be in a Spider-Man movie for a long time. Because it would work in that, they would work, I think, well, Kraven, who is, I know, a ridiculous character, but I think he would work. And Mysterio, just because I really want to see Mysterio. I love Mysterio. He's one of my favorite Spider-Man villains.
Just to see how they do the costume in the movie?
No, I mean, look, they would tweak the costume. I would work around the costume. But I like Mysterio. He's one of my favorite obscure Spider-Man villains. So I would just like to see him done.
You're going to get exactly what you saw in that trailer.
It could be Rhino and Lizard, and that Venom. Would round out the 6.
I don't think so. I think it's gonna. I don't think it's gonna be Lizard. I think it's gonna be Venom.
No, they're not gonna. No,
they can't do that if they're gonna make a
Venom
and a Sinister Six.
If they were gonna put him in the Sinister Six,
yeah, they can't do both.
Who's the 6th?
Then they have to introduce a new character:
Green Goblin,
Sandman,
and Hobgoblin.
Sandman, because they're doing Venom, so why not fucking bring Sandman in too?
No, Sandman is the worst fucking villain.
Fucking assholes! I hate those fucking clown shoes. All right. Let's
However, the person writing Sinister Six is the guy who wrote Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, what's his name?
Drew Goddard.
Yeah, by the way, we didn't mention
Goddard.
Mention this last week, by the by. But Smoke. Drew Goddard also doing the Daredevil series.
Oh yeah.
For Netflix.
I liked Cabin in the Woods.
I liked Cabin in the Woods too.
Yeah.
I
except for the last second.
I don't see the problem with doing how do you do a Sinister Six movie without Spider-Man.
I don't know.
Is it just going to be
destruction? What makes you think that there's no Spider-Man in it?
What's the story?
No, wait. Why do you keep thinking there's no Spider-Man in it?
Because
Spider-Man.
It doesn't make sense to call it a standalone movie, if Spider-Man is in it. If Spider-Man's in it, then it's Spider-Man 4.
Probably.
Or 5, right? But they're not calling it that.
What's
but
the
then
story?
Why would they say, quote, forge a new legacy in the story of Peter Parker on screen?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to make it a standalone movie. Call it a standalone movie if you're not, if you're going
to
put
Sony
Spider-Man
is just trying to create the Spider-Man universe the way that Marvel Films is trying to create the Avengers universe.
Look, that's okay. I don't have a problem.
Except they're doing it. Except they're doing it the DC way.
Let's talk about Marvel some more.
Warner not doing it.
Let's talk about some Marvel some more since we're on that topic. Tom Brevoort, who I guess is the vice president of publishing at Marvel.
Yep.
Has made a statement in response to a fan question about renumbering and restarting with issue ones.
Including Daredevil.
I want to read his quote, and it's long, and then I want to yell at him.
Okay.
So let's start with the reading. On this, we follow what you and your fellow readers do more than what you say. So readers are complaining, but they're still buying the issues is pretty much what he's saying. We hear complaints about renumbering every time we do it, but every time we do it, it results in higher sales, which is the whole ball game. So if it were your time and your effort, what would you do? Also, there are a lot of readers who hear about our books being good, but who feel like they don't know where to jump on board to try it out. They're hesitant. The new number ones give them a nice, easy access point, which is part of why it always works. Bullshit. We are in the.
I thought we were yelling afterwards.
I decided to interject with a bullshit.
Did he say bullshit?
I'll back up my bullshit afterwards. We are in the business of selling stories. Well, that's questionable too.
Our
operating philosophy is that good. Accessible stories will always sell better, but we live here and now, and we deal with the conditions of the marketplace in which we sell our products. And when it comes to something as irrelevant to the storytelling as the number that happens to be on the cover, we're going to do whatever the marketplace tells us the best chance to get that material into the hands of possible. Bullshit.
So by that explanation, why don't they just number every book number one?
No, it's bullshit because Marvel Now, which started with all new numbering for a select issue of books, didn't actually provide an easy jumping on point for any new readers. I considered myself a new Marvel reader when Marvel Now launched because it had been
quite some time,
5 years at maybe least, since I had read a Marvel book. I jumped into into X-Men.
Oh yeah, you said
right
because
I was
yeah,
really excited.
This.
I had no fucking clue what was going on. I went to the Wikipedia page.
So they literally did renumber. They didn't actually change anything. No. They just changed the numbers.
That's it. They went back to number one.
It's really interesting.
But it's a continuation of the exact same story.
Marvel is kicking DC's ass in the movies. But DC is destroying Marvel
in quality
comic
of books.
Books. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Without question.
And, yeah.
and that's been the argument.
It's a shame. It pains me still to a certain degree to say this stuff because growing up, I was all Marvel.
Yep, me too. Batman.
You asked me what I thought about DC growing up. Well, I was like, except for Batman, fuck DC.
Yeah.
Right? Green Arrow later on. But for the most part, I was a Marvel kid and that was it.
Me too.
Now it's like I
was an X-Men guy. I read every X-Men
every
book.
Every
X-Book.
All the Spidey books.
Captain America and Daredevil.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's bullshit. If I would respect them more if they did a true DC New 52 thing. And truly started over with some books.
Yeah.
And they did that once with Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate X-Men and blah,
then they
blah,
just
blah. But they
killed
kept
that.
The ongoings. It just makes no sense.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
So that just gives you the caliber and the tenor of the people who are running Marvel. Hey, we're all about selling books. Fuck it if they're good. Fuck it if you guys are upset about the numbering. Fuck it this. Fuck it that. You know, it's all about how much we sell.
Right. Let's talk about Scapegoat's favorite female.
Ooh, who?
Emile Clarke.
Emilia Clarke.
Is it Emilia or it's Emile?
It's Emile. I thought it was Emilia.
I believe. Oh, is it Emilia?
Yeah.
I thought it was E-M-I-L-E. Is it E-M-I-L-A?
It's Emilia.
I could be wrong. Okay,
it's
so
Emilia.
Emilia Clarke. Going to be the new Sarah Connor.
Yeah, I'm totally fine.
So my
she's God. Not my favorite. She's up there, though.
My initial reaction to this was, I like her, but I don't physically see her as Sarah Clarke. Because I really only know Emilia Clarke from
Game of Thrones,
which is, you know, she's kind of got that stringy blonde hair thing that she's going. So
yeah.
I'm looking up her
and
pictures.
She got hammered.
Have you seen her as a brunette?
She got hammered.
I saw her as a brunette, and I'm like, holy shit. Not only is she 1,000 times hotter as a brunette, but I totally could see her as Sarah Connor.
Yep.
She got
a young Sarah Connor, totally could see her.
Well, where are we going with this? What's there, in what movie?
There's another Terminator
movie. Do we really need
Terminator
any
Genesis,
more?
I think,
do we need any more Terminator movies?
No. It's a reboot, though. It's a true reboot.
I don't.
It's not another one in the line of other ones. This is a true start over.
So they're
essentially remaking Terminator.
So they're RoboCopping Terminator?
Yes.
Yes. Do we really need to bring back all those movies?
No.
Well,
you know why? Because the last one was fine enough to keep going forward from.
Salvation?
Didn't do well.
Well,
Salvation.
So why redo another one they've already done?
Because maybe they want to try that magical redo.
Oh my, fuck this.
I know.
They
want to
start with issue one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, except it's a true issue one.
So how long? So how long is Schwarzenegger's cameo, do you think?
Oh God.
In this one.
I don't know, he's available, so maybe briefly. My biggest concern is,
why are they doing this?
Well, yeah. But my biggest concern is that T-1000. That's so iconic. More so than RoboCop. It's just the T-1000 is so
they're
going to
redesign
it. You mean the T-800?
Oh, was it the 800?
The T-1000 is Terminator 2, right?
Yeah, the liquid one.
The T-800 is, and really, quite honestly, is perfect. Like, as far as design goes for a film, that is the perfect design for that. It was creepy. It was...
You think they're going to redo it?
Absolutely. They'll figure out a way to make it sleeker, blacker, you know. It's
like RoboCop.
Right, exactly. They'll figure out a way to somehow, and they'll joke about, you know, the T-600, which is like the 800 or some bullshit nonsense. But
yeah.
Anyway.
And we'll all go see it anyway. We will. That way we can have a scathing review of it on the show.
We won't go see it.
All right.
Like, we're not going to see RoboCop.
What I'm calling one of the biggest bits in the news this week, confirmed...
Desolation of Smaug.
Oh, I didn't see it. Did you guys see it?
We did.
Yes.
And?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah. But, I mean...
But haters gonna hate.
No, hold on. Hold on. Go ahead.
He's a hater?
No, I
just... His jury was out last I spoke to him, so I don't know where he landed.
I still don't know. My problem, and I totally understand, and you're gonna say Star Wars, and I get it, is I don't like paying an exorbitant amount of... fuck the money. I don't like going to sit in a theater to watch something that is not a total story. And the way that I'll compare. I'm not trying to compare the universes or movies or anything that. Please don't be angry at Twitter or whatever. I know, actually, people now tweet.
GVM line 425-920-6050.
But
if you want to hate on Scapegoat, give us a call.
Yeah, no problem. But seriously, I'm not trying to compare them. But Hunger Games, right? Catching Fire clearly is leading into another movie, but it's the story's pretty complete.
But it's different.
Like, it ends, it's like, oh, okay, we're clearly going to the future.
But it's different.
But okay. Right, because this is based on one book, and it's the complete story. So, I get that. But you know what? It doesn't need three fucking movies for one book.
Okay, so...
But beyond that, my problem is...
Because I'll agree with
it
that. You don't need three movies.
It doesn't end with, like, hey, this story's complete. This is what's next. You want to see it. It ends with, like, oh, shit, someone hit cut.
Yeah, but...
It literally goes from, like, oh, my God, we're getting into the credits. I guess we're getting into the credits,
then. The problem with The Hobbit, though... Or actually, I don't even want to say the problem with The Hobbit. The good thing about The Hobbit, the book, I don't know if you've read it or when the last time you read it was, but it is really one great, well-paced adventure.
Right.
There isn't a breaking point. Like when I'm reading The Hobbit, and I reread it every couple of years, ideally, I find a good long weekend and I read it in one or two sittings.
But
here's
the thing about adapting stuff, and we've talked about this before.
I understand that.
If you're going to change, for example, the famous, infamous barrel sequence, into a chase scene, into an action sequence chase scene, which, by the way, as someone who shoots video, seriously, don't use a GoPro. Like, what the fuck is that? The footage was very obvious. Anyway, you know, you can't say that, well, we couldn't figure out how to adapt that also.
No. Now, this is what I said in defense of that.
Yeah.
When they decided, initially, when this was two movies, what I think they... Guillermo del Toro was director. Right. What I think they decided was there was too much important, I'm stressing this, important material that they wanted to include to do in two movies.
Right.
Therefore,
they had to fill it with crap.
To stretch to three movies, and you have to stretch things out. So the barrel sequence, which in the book is, two paragraphs maybe?
Page. It's like maybe a page.
Even if it's a page, it's now essentially what Scapegoat said. It's a chase scene. Which I'm fine with.
I am totally fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
And the fact that they're not sealed in the barrels is different than the book. But here's the overarching theme of this. Purists gotta let it go. Purists have got to let it go.
I'm agreeing with you. This is an adaptation. It's different. I'm totally fine with it. But all I'm saying is if you can add characters and backstory and try to tie it in as if it's also a prequel to Lord of the Rings and all this kind of stuff, which honestly, from a filmmaking perspective, I'm totally on board with.
And it's way more...
But you can't... My problem is it's literally like there was no ending
to this movie because they know
you're going to see it. Now, listen, if this were releasing like 6 months later, that's a different story.
Well, it is.
No, it's not. It's December of next year.
No, it's not. It's
Are you sure?
Yep.
I'm not so sure about that.
Still, I think it's June, sir.
Even still, I'll look it up.
I mean, the easiest place to put breaks in that
book. It's there
and
back again, I believe.
The easiest place to put breaks in that book, if you're going to put them somewhere, is sort of in that hazy page turn. You know, when you're reading the story, there are a couple of moments where it's like, and they're on their way to see Elrond.
Sure.
And they've made it to Elrond. Like, that kind of, which I think was one and two, right?
Yeah.
So, but that kind of spot I could see I haven't seen Desolation yet, so I can't comment on it.
But that's exactly what you feel.
Nope.
You feel like...
December 17th, 2014.
That's what I thought, too.
No, it was supposed to be June.
Okay, December 17th, 2014.
All right.
I think it was pushed back.
So now it's not a cliffhanger like, we're going to do voiceover about what's happening next.
Right.
Or like, we're going to talk to a character and during a conversation, you know, while they're talking in the background. It is literally... Do you mind if I spoil?
No,
is anyone
mind?
Spoilers? Can
it's
I spoil?
It's The Hobbit. I've read it
a thousand times. Spoiling. Smaug.
Yeah,
flies off into the distance. Cut. When he's about to burn down a village. That's what happens.
Yeah. And Bilbo says, what have we done?
Yeah.
Oh, that, I don't know. That's not so terrible.
Yes,
it's
not. Is.
It's a
perfect.
I kind of see that as a good commercial break.
It's it builds a perfect.
Exactly. A
breaking.
Commercial break.
Yep.
Yeah. This is 365 days
right,
commercial
I
break.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm mad that I caught up to Arrow and I got to wait 3 weeks for a new episode.
Okay.
You're fucking telling
me that they do this whole thing with Smaug, and
at the end, it's literally like a whole prequel to the Majesty of Smaug. And then it's just like, you got to wait a year.
Quite honestly.
You're saying it like a deaf guy. Yeah,
quite honestly.
I love Moog.
I originally was not going to watch these movies until all three were available.
It's smart.
Watch.
Yeah.
I caved on the first one because I was home bored one weekend and I had access to it.
Yeah.
But I might not watch two until I can watch all three. We'll see. The jury's out.
You know what, though?
If you can wait,
It was a lot of fun.
I don't doubt it.
There was.
I would just rather binge watch it.
I'll give you some criticisms.
Yeah.
Legolas. Let's just talk about Legolas.
Yeah.
Legolas, who clearly looks older in this movie.
But elves don't age.
Than he did in Lord of the Rings.
Right, yeah.
He clearly does look older. That's number one. Number two, I'm not even going to get into the whole controversy about Toriel.
Right.
Because we could just be here all night just talking about that.
I liked it.
You know, she's pissed about that, right?
What?
When she signed up to do the movie, she wanted to be like a very straight-laced character, no like crazy stupid love twist.
Uh-huh.
And when they expanded it from two to three, Peter Jackson added a bunch of the love shit into it, and she was like, the deal I made with Peter was no love triangles, no love story.
Uh-huh.
And then by the time they were getting ready to wrap two and they told us they were going to do three, all this love shit was added in.
Well, then I like
her more. Do you know who the love shit is? But do you know who
the triangle is?
Who's
the third?
Do you want to know?
Yeah, I don't care.
Feely.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awkward.
Uh-huh.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
That aside, because that could be a whole show. We could just do a show called Toriel, Why It Worked and Why It Didn't.
Right.
Purgatorial.
That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about
Smoke.
Is the Legolas. You're right there?
Yeah, I'm dying.
Coffee. Legolas is even more ridiculous in this movie as far as fighting goes. So remember how really cool it was in the Two Towers when he jumped on that shield and he slid down the step, what'd he slide down? 25 steps on a shield and he was firing. He fucking surfs on everything in this. He surfs on orcs. He surfs on barrels. He surfs on wood. He just does it all over the place. They're like, wow, audiences really responded well when he did all that solo, like when he took down the Oliphant in Return of the King. Audiences responded really well. Fuck it. Everything he does in this movie is going to be like that.
Right.
Well, still some cool fight. It's overkill, definitely. Still some cool fighting sequences.
But yeah, there was a lot of cool stuff. But this is definitely not by any means or stretch of the imagination The Hobbit. It just isn't. It isn't the standalone version at all. These movies are exactly what Peter Jackson said they would be. They are prequel to The Lord of the Rings. They are the setup movies for The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Because that is predominantly what is going on in the movie. Is The Hobbit involved in it? Yes. Is the book The Hobbit is represented here? Absolutely it is. But don't be fooled. You're not going to see The Hobbit. You're going to see
the prequel to
The Lord of the Rings. All right. That's it.
Since you brought up Arrow,
sure.
Let's talk about it. Spoiler alert: if you haven't seen last week's Arrow,
yeah,
watch it now. Turn off the show. Barry Allen.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
I thought it was good casting. First of all,
I
know he was
really
in a couple
him.
Episodes ago. I actually liked him.
Yeah, but after the first episode, I liked him, but I wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
After the new episode, I'm in. I'm all in on Grant Gustin.
Yeah, and I noticed. I told you that it's a little ridiculous what happened, but it is true to the
To the origin.
Yeah, it's true to the
pretty
origin.
Pretty damn true.
Because it's a little ridiculous. Like, why is he the only one that's oh, it's because he happens to be sitting next to chemicals and lightning happens to strike and there happens to be a particle.
Right. It was a little bit of all three.
It's a little ridiculous. But the fact that it's actually, I'm totally fine with the fact that they did that. But the question now is, the pilot just starts with him being the Flash? Where do they start?
I
assumed that scene is going to be the opening of the Flash.
All right, well, here's the problem. Well, let's talk about Arrow first. Rest of the episode. Other things in the episode. Cyrus, Gold.
Yeah.
Awesome. Definitely becoming Solomon Grundy.
Oh, absolutely.
They set that up perfectly last episode.
They talked about Solomon Grundy.
Yeah. Yeah, they mentioned the poem and that it's based on. And Deathstroke. Fantastic.
Oh, Deathstroke's fucking awesome.
Finally brought
We saw that coming for a while, but the way they did it, still
we
on
knew
point.
It was going to happen eventually. Yeah. The very first time you see Cyrus fight with the mask on that he's fighting,
you think
I knew Deathstroke was coming because it's Deathstroke's mask just without the color.
Exactly.
It's just a black version of
Deathstroke. And it's way better than the Deathstroke on the island thing. Like that mask is, we get it, it's a little, this is definitely a lot better.
But Deathstroke, is that newer Deathstroke with the grayed hair and the eye patch? Yeah. He looks great.
He looks like, and I said this to you, white Nick Fury.
He does
like
look
the Marvel,
like
the
Nick
original.
Fury.
Yeah,
he also looks a little heavier.
He does. Yeah.
I don't know how they did that, but
I don't know.
But whatever. So that was pretty cool.
But I'm excited. Yeah, because it can only get cooler from there.
Roy got the drug, which really just sounds like a somewhat racist way of saying miracle.
Miracle.
But yeah, he gets the drug. Miracle. So I don't know what that means because clearly that's a pretty
significant. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that.
Off course. He's clearly not going to become Speedy. He's going to skip right over Speedy. I think he's going to skip right over Speedy and go to Arsenal.
That's my guess. That makes sense, though.
He'll be a weapons expert and all these other things. So that's what I think. And then let's go back to Flash. So we know the Flash is getting a pilot.
Yeah.
We know the Flash no longer appears in this season of Arrow. But we don't know when the pilot's actually coming. They did some casting, but it hasn't started filming. And pilots normally don't just randomly pop up on a weekend, right?
It'll probably be next fall.
So will it be next fall? Will it not be next fall? I'm guessing that the first episode will be
after the season finale of Arrow.
No, I actually think the first episode of Flash Gordon will be of the Flash. I'm sick. The first episode of the Flash, I think, is going to be. It's going to take place before the events of his first appearance on Arrow.
Okay.
You mean they're going to flash back?
They will reference back
to... You mean his parents and everything?
Yes. They'll go into his parents. They will reference back to...
They may use some of the
what happened
scenes.
On Arrow.
Yeah.
The first episode will end again with...
That same scene.
The origin. And then the story will kick forward from there. It's not like this is the first time we've ever seen a spinoff or a character. Look, Angel and Buffy did it, right?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, but with that, it was, Angel was so established at that point. It was a little bit different, but there are ways they can do it.
That makes sense. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
If they do something like that, they show him doing, you know, his real forensics job.
Right.
And all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, it might even be an episode or two, but there'll be a little bit of background there.
As long as they actually use the same shot, I'm hoping they got different angles and they just edited a little differently.
Right.
That same scene, I'm fine. If they're about to reshoot this thing they just shot, obnoxious. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Plus, they probably don't have the budget anywhere.
Right.
They're blowing all the budget on the show, which is great. It's really well done, and I'm excited. Although the canary just fucking left. What's up with that shit?
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. She'll be back. Yeah. She'll die, and then the right canary will step into place. All right, the biggest news this week. What I think is the biggest news this week. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have you heard this?
Oh, yeah, I have.
To direct and star in Neil Gaiman's The Sandman. He will be playing Morpheus.
Wait.
A.K.A. Dream.
And he is going to direct it?
That's correct. He will be working with David Goyer and Neil Gaiman in conjunction with Warner Brothers, which makes sense because it's DC, to do Sandman. When he confirmed it, when Joseph Gordon-Levitt confirmed it via the Twitter, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm incredibly honored to be working with David Goyer, Warner Brothers, and Neil himself on Sandman. Hashtag Prelude," which leads a lot of people to believe that it's going to be Preludes Nocturnus, which was the first Preludes and Nocturnus, whatever it was, the first
Preludes and Nocturnes.
Yeah. Now, wasn't it? Was it just Nocturnes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought there was a.
No, I don't think so.
Emphasis. Latin thing.
Yeah. But whatever it is, it's going to be the first Sandman book, which makes sense. I mean,
sure.
Why would you start elsewhere?
Right.
I'm totally okay with that.
I'm okay with that. I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I have a lot of faith in him as an actor.
That's his opening directorial.
No, he did Don John.
Oh, that's right.
Which, although I didn't see, was very well received.
Yeah,
so.
it was actually pretty. Now this is nothing like Sandman at all.
But you know,
but
isn't it?
so much so. But you know, it's pretty well done. He's good. Worked with some good people. I'm not.
I thought Neil was out to direct this himself. I guess not.
No, I Neil. I don't know. Neil's
gone a little whack.
No, I don't think he's gone a little whack.
It's
but
true.
I think he's stepping back from a lot of things. I think.
Yeah, he's not doing any more book signings.
I think going forward, Neil Gaiman is just going to be like writer Neil Gaiman. He's not going to be this like prolific, like pop up everywhere and give these inspirational speeches.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, look, that's the guy has the right to do that. He's married. He wants to live his life. As long as he doesn't go Alan Moore on us, we're okay.
He lived
in a castle, play a loop.
Yeah, he's hate everyone. Well, he's definitely not doing any more book signings. Right. His last one was this summer.
Right.
And he's scaling back on writing projects as well, if I read that correctly. So, yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Guess he's just doing what he wants to do.
Collect the money from movies.
All right. So with that being said.
There you go.
And reprints.
At 42 minutes into this episode.
Nice.
I think awesome. We should probably take our first
break. Well,
it's
okay if it's a little longer. It's the Christmas episode.
Okay.
Now we got to get those like jingle.
The jingle jangles. Jingle.
And with that, OG, we will take our first break on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 312, the last one before the next one.
The last episode before the next one.
Yeah, that.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Stay from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 312, the last episode before the next one. Of course, it is the last episode of 2013, as we will be taking a two-week hiatus. Screw you. We want a break.
I'm going to miss 2013.
Screw you. Yes. No, I'm going to, from me.
Yes.
I'm going to miss you guys.
Aw.
You're not going to miss me, because...
you'll still see each other.
I meant the audience. Yeah. You guys is a whole other...
Yeah, I still interact with those dirtbags on Twitter once in a while, so...
Wow. Ow.
But I say that lovingly. I love all of the dirtbags that listen to this show.
There you go.
I love them dearly. All right, let's start off this segment of the show with some comics.
Geek stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
Well, I only have one thing. Oh, I jumped the gun. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what is
no,
that all
he
about?
He jumped the gun. The that's bullshit.
Someone jumped the gun.
No, I didn't say five.
I didn't want you to say five, but I might have still come in too soon.
I was counting.
Just wedge it in there. I have one thing. You have several. So let's do yours first.
Well, what's your one thing?
It's that, but we do that after those anyway.
Oh, gotcha.
So.
That's true. So you have no things. You have no single issues.
No single issues.
DC brings us Batman Beyond Universe number 5 from a variety of persons. This now has become, I think, a bit more of an anthology than anything else.
Okay.
Set in the Batman Beyond Universe from the TV show.
Awesome show.
It was an awesome show. And the book is good too, which is why so many people who are fans of the TV show who haven't come over to read this book. I don't get it.
It's me. I couldn't tell you why I don't do it, other than I feel like I'm so far behind on everything else that I just can't pick up something else at this time.
Five. Issue five, yeah, sir.
No,
issue five
bullshit.
Of this one.
No, there was...
But before this, there was another one. Yeah, I read, one before that.
I read the Batman Beyond before the New 52, all those volumes. Yeah. Those are pretty good-ish. But the New 52 one, this is not five. There's regular Batman Beyond. Then there was Justice League Beyond.
Right.
Then no. They had them. Yeah.
It was Justice League 3000.
No.
That was no.
No.
That
was Beyond?
Justice League Beyond was not its own book.
It was a digital book.
Maybe it was a digital book, but
then they
reprints.
Collected it in universe or whatever.
Okay.
I don't remember. But this is not five. There's a lot more than five of these.
Yeah. I just don't have the time. That's the honest to God truth. What else do you
have? I have regrettably or happily, I found out some news about this book today. Daredevil number 34 by Mark Waid and Slowpoke Rodriguez. somebody Rodriguez. Javier Rodriguez.
Lovely.
This continues the terrible Daredevil story that's been going on. Why do we keep talking about this book?
Because you keep bringing it up.
I know. And it's my own damn fault, too.
I really blame you. I'm tired of hearing you bitch about it.
Guess what?
What?
This book is ending.
Oh, good.
And then it will be restarting, I believe, the month after it ends.
Right. With a number one.
Yeah.
But it'll be a continuation of what's going on.
Exactly. Which stinks because what's been going on has been terrible. So if they would kill it and send him to Dimension Z, at least it might be an interesting book.
Right.
But no. I also got Harley Quinn, number one.
I like number zero, so I'll be checking it out issue one.
I'm still... This costume just isn't doing it for me yet.
Well, she looks like a roller girl.
She does, which I don't have a problem with. What I have a problem with is that they, well, yeah, I guess I do too. They really have kind of abandoned. Oh, I got news for you. She's doing roller.
Oh, is
roller
she?
Derby
oh,
in
well,
the
that,
book.
Then that's that probably that. Explains it. I, you know, she's kind of doesn't have a set costume anymore. She's like one of the few characters who changes, but it's kind of part of the character at this point.
And it is Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti. Mm. So you can expect mediocre writing and artwork from Joe Quesada's former partner.
Ninjak. Remember that back in the Valiant days?
Unbelievable. So yeah, I'm gonna give the first, I like zero also. I'm gonna give one a shot.
Right.
Like anything else, I'm gonna give it the first trade worth, and then either I'll go to trades or I'll abandon it altogether.
There you go.
Or we'll keep talking about it on the show and complaining.
Not me, I like it.
Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 26, James.
I'm so far behind on that book. Right
Tiny
now.
In the fourth, and Julius Gopez.
I'm like four issues behind,
Julius
Gopez, I think, on that book.
And Sendal Florea.
Oh.
Yes, this book is still really awesome 26 issues later, I think.
Oh, maybe I'm not. I think I'm on 24, so I'm only two issues behind.
Yeah, you're only a couple issues behind. So definitely check that out. Then I got a couple of freebies.
I want to check
I
out
I paid
human.
For something else. No, that's free. Oh, yeah. Batman and Two-Face, number 26.
Nice.
So, formerly known as Batman and Robin, right. Peter J. Tomasi,
nice.
Patrick Gleason doing the honors there. Still Two-Face, the Two-Face story going on. And then I have Marvel killing trees for no reason to give us Avengers World.
What the fuck is that? It sounds like a theme park ride.
Of all new and ongoing series. So, let's see what it is. Because I didn't have the opportunity to look at it beforehand. It looks to me like all this is looks like preview
three
of the
pages
Invaders.
Of every book.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just a preview of upcoming ongoing books.
Inhuman is in there, I saw.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that. I want to see that. I want to read that.
I also got the 2014 Marvel Now calendar.
I need one of those.
Really?
Yeah, look. My 2013 is about to die.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I need one of those.
Oh, shit, son. Anyway, so there was that. More paper wasted. And that's all I got for single issues. All
right, so let's move on to trades then. This is actually not brandy spanky new. to the world, but it is brand spanking new to us to a certain degree. This came out, I think, in September or October.
I believe so, yes.
This is Star Wars Ewoks Shadows of Endor. So now, if you remember our New York Comic Con interviews, we actually had Zach, and I know I'm going to butcher his last name.
Oh, I can't wait.
Giolongo, I believe it is.
Oh, really?
And we had talked about Zach's last book, Broxo, on the show before. It was a really good independent book, a lot of fun, kind of a fantasy tale. You know, we ran into Zach at New York Comic Con, and he came on, and he was like, hey, I did an Ewok book. And we talked a lot about it on the show then, but now we actually have copies of the book that we were able to read. So just to give you a little background, there's an 8-month gap between the end of Shadows of Endor and Return of the Jedi. So this takes place...
Prequel.
In there. And the name Shadows of Endor is appropriate because it would line up with Shadows of an Empire, which also took place between the end of Empire and the beginning of Jedi.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was between there.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it was. Han yeah.
Still frozen, blah, blah. Yeah. So I read this today, and it looks kind of cute, but it is not entirely cute. in that it's a little, it's
dark.
It's a little dark, but it's good dark. It's not like over the top, ridiculous. You know, it's not crazy. It's not as violent as the Sideshow statue.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome.
Or the funnier version of General Giant statue.
But it is still really good. And you know, all your favorite Ewoks are in there. Logray is in there.
Yeah,
and,
no, not one of my favorites.
Wicket is
not
in there.
Not one of my favorites either.
Who's your favorite?
I don't have a favorite.
Well, because you're
so
a heathen.
So all of my favorites are in there because I have none.
You are a heathen. But
that's interesting logic.
But yeah, but Zach does a great job. He's a story and art. By him for this book. It's 76 pages. $7.99 it'll run you.
From Dark Horse.
Nice little digest format.
Sure.
Story. I like the spoiler alert. I like that it ends with the story actually wraps up and then there's a page and a half or a 2-page 8 months later bit.
Yeah.
And it's Wicket finding Leia and poking him with the spear is how it ends.
Her poking her. Her with
did spirit. I say him?
Yeah,
I'm sick. So
everything, I'm sick.
Every mistake I make tonight, I'm sick. But yeah, definitely, you definitely want to check this out. It deals with the other species on Endor. The Agluk was the character's name, but Duloc was the race, and they kind of almost look like a furry Salacious Crumb.
Yeah, aren't they the ones from the 80s cartoon
Yes,
Ewoks?
They are the ones from the 80s
green
cartoon.
Ones.
They kind of look like the Grinch.
I was about to say, they look like the Grinch.
In the cartoon, they look a lot like the Grinch.
When I kit-bash them, they will be made from Grinch action figures.
In this book, they look a little bit more like furry, taller, Salacious Crumb characters. But it's good. It's definitely a worthwhile read. Please check out Shadows of Endor, Star Wars Ewoks from Dark Horse. It's good. If you're an Ewok fan, if you're not an Ewok fan,
you know,
it's fun.
I like the dude and all, and gave us a good interview, and I like him, but in the Ewoks.
It's a good book, son. A lot of people like Ewoks.
Let's ship it out to Aileen from Toy Break.
I would love to send her a copy of it. That would be wonderful.
She probably has it already.
She doesn't.
No?
No.
Oh, you found out?
I've done my research.
I'm actually sending her the catapult. We throw this in with
there
it.
There you go. See? There it's nice. Go. So yeah, definitely check out Star Wars Ewoks, Shadows of Endor from Dark Horse, and Zach Giolongo. Broxo,
Zach.
I got it right. I kept on saying Braxo for whatever reason.
Why? Time.
I don't know, because I'm retarded.
Braxo.
Because you're sick.
Because I'm always sick. I'm perpetually sick.
There you go.
Let us move forward with the show.
Geek Stuff, product reviews.
5.
Product.
There you go.
Before we get into product, I do want to talk. Well, this is really part of product, but I do want to talk, of course, about our sponsor, Suburban Vinyl.
Suburban Vinyl!
That's right, suburbanvinyl.com in Lovely. Although I don't know if it's covered in snow right now. Waldwick, New Jersey.
Probably is.
If you want to place an order online and you are in the continental United States and you still want to get it for Christmas, you can place it by... Friday afternoon at noon.
Blinky will make sure you
get it. And still get it for Christmas.
So Hawaii, no.
No, because Priority doesn't make it there fast enough.
And that's not continental U.S.
That's why I said, I guess not Hawaii.
I don't think that it would make it there with Priority Mail fast enough. But continental U.S., three-day priority. Pretty much if you order it by Friday at noon, you should get it by Monday or Tuesday at the latest.
You should.
So check them out online. One of the things they got going on right now, they still have that dead Kozik bust in stock, so you can check out that green variant that we talked about last week. Still lots of pieces from their last show, the Oh My Doll show. So check that out. They have all that online.
They got new shows coming?
They do have some new stuff planned for the new year, but we don't have all those details yet, so we're not going to talk about them. But one thing I did want to talk about, because this is product and they happen to be taking pre-orders for it, the Walking Dead 1/6 scale pet zombies. Have you seen these? There are two. They're Michonne's
pets.
Oh, yeah.
They're awesome.
They're 1/6 scale.
They're 1/6 scale.
So they're 12-inch figures?
Yep.
Is it to go along with the Daryl one that they just released?
And I think they're going to be doing a Michonne.
Well, that makes sense.
These are going to retail for $130 each, but you can pre-order them.
Wait, who's making this?
3-0 is the company.
I have no idea. These are not the ones.
Fully articulated head, shoulder, and waist. Real clothing.
I stand corrected. Real metal chain. These are not the ones that will go with the Daryl.
I believe it's real clothing.
The Daryl one just came out. I'm pretty sure that's like Mezco. Not Mezco. What you call it? Like McFarlane.
I think that it's real clothing now that I think about it, but I think it is.
Wow.
But either way, these are going to go, like I said, for 130 piece. You can pre-order these over at Suburban Vinyl. $25 will get you a pre-order for one, $50 obviously to pre-order both. There's a red and green variant, so to make up the two. But they're awesome looking figures. Of course, if you're checking out the photo gallery online or watching this on YouTube, QuickTime on your iPhone or other device, you will be able to see photos of the two figures. But definitely go to suburbanvinyl.com and pre-order those. And, of course, you can use your coupon code.
Big Kev.
And that will get you
10% off your entire order.
Nice. Moving into the rest of product.
Do yours first so that I can get Scapegoat to give me his laptop so I can prepare for mine.
Okay. So you've heard us talk about these on the show before. These are the Mouseketeer Army. Of course, artist Bob Dobb, sculpted by George Gaspar.
Bob Dobb.
And being brought to us by 3D Retro, the store that has these, has just released the second figure, with the third figure quickly around the corner. Or the second figure has been released now for maybe a month, month and a half, 2 months. Third figure is coming around the corner. This is Mouseketeer Death, is the third figure. He comes with, is that an assault rifle? Is that what that is?
I would say that's an assault rifle. Is that an AR-15?
Is that an AR-15? I don't know. But he's got the...
I just almost made a terrible joke.
He's got the Mouseketeer Army tattoo on his arm.
Terrible.
He's got the Mouseketeer Army helmet on. Of course, no busticated ear like Mouseketeer Will did the first one. He's got the Mouseketeer logo, of course, on his chest. And he's got like a stretched skin... skull face mask on
thing,
right? That's really cool.
It is cool.
Again, this is the second figure in the line. I believe these are $80. If you go over to bobdob.com, you can get them.
Bobdob.com.
Bob Dob.
That's like Bob
dot.
Blah blah blah.
Bobdob.com.
And if you want the first one, Mouseketeer Will, you can go over to 3DRetro.com to get that one. They're still available. With your purchase of this second one from Bob, if you send him a photo.
Bab.
Of yourself, he will do a sketch of you in the Mouseketeer Army. So I've got my
Make sure you, that cool. makes it to the website.
Oh, sir. Absolutely! I love it. It's fantastic. It's totally his style. It's clearly me, which is lovely.
When are they gonna do the figure of you as a Mouseketeer?
I'll talk to George.
I was gonna say, shouldn't the sculptor be able to handle one head and pop it on generic body?
You also get a Mouseketeer Army patch, I believe, and some Mouseketeer Army stickers with your purchase. It also comes with an Enlist Now little pamphlet.
Like a pamphlet.
So it's got the Enlist Now questionnaire on the back.
Are you going to join, sir?
Oh, I'm already joined. That's what my sketch is for.
Oh.
Of course, if you open up, you get some background material.
It's like
on
a little
it.
Newspaper.
Yep, it's like a newspaper. And then
in the
center, you get some of Bob's Mouseketeer Army artwork.
Wow.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, his art is ridiculously awesome. Even the stuff he does that's not part of the Mouseketeer Army, because I've checked out his site and looked at a lot of stuff.
Yo, you framing that,
fucking
son?
Fantastic. Hells yes, I am framing that.
Why is the Kool-Aid guys in the middle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just because he is.
Blah, blah, blah.
But, yeah, really, really awesome. Also, he has Mouseketeer Army t-shirts that you can get, too, over at his website for a separate charge. We have one of those in the studio as well.
Oh, that's cool.
So, this, of course, Mouseketeer Death. The third piece is coming soon. It's called Devil Lock. And that's a pretty fucking great-looking figure. He's got like a creepy looking devil balloon, and he's kind of got like this swoosh hairstyle. We saw the teaser image of these, if you remember, back at San Diego. The fourth one that's coming, which I don't know the name on, is the one with the spiky mohawk.
I do remember
this.
This
is the one with the kind of.
Were they on the bridge or whatever?
They're on the bridge in the Magic, or it's probably it's Disneyland, I'm assuming, because it's all California based. Mm-hmm. Kind of looking out over the theme park. Yeah. But great figures. So definitely check out Bob Dobb. Definitely check out 3D Retro if you want to get these. Definitely worth adding to your collection.
Definitely worth it.
Definitely.
Bob Dobb.
And what do you got there, mister?
Well, I've been wanting to talk about this for quite some time. And I know we mentioned it going into San Diego last summer, so this is going back a while. But the best part about this is that we actually have one of these to talk about now. It's the Boba Fett Deluxe Mini Bust. From General Giant. This was a San Diego exclusive last year.
Oodalolly.
Well, why am I talking about it now?
I don't know.
Because they have more to sell.
Oh, they've made them available.
Yes. Yeah. And what's important about it is it's probably one of the best. It probably is the best Boba Fett bust that I've ever seen. Based on his appearance, I believe it's the Empire suit, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Based on his appearance in Empire Strikes Back, what's great about this one, besides the fact that you can now get it again, I guess this should start our series of what to do with your Christmas money and right. gift cards.
Right.
This would be one of the first things you'll want to check out. It's $150, okay. I think. Comes in a tin. You don't see a lot of busts coming in tins, right? So you got the collectible tin aspect.
Is it a popcorn like stuffed in it?
No.
You open it up and it's like chocolate and caramel.
It does have Christmassy colors, though.
Ooh.
I think that's a coincidence, however. But that said, the inside the tin, you'll find the bust and a number of different arms and choices.
Okay.
I mean, a really, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's got to be a dozen ways that you can display this bust
that's
based
awesome.
On the arms that are in there. So that's really awesome. Awesome. And I wanted to bring this up also because this is one of those pieces, this is one of those rare opportunities where a Comic-Con exclusive is available so far after the time that you may have put it out of your head, or you may have been like, oh, that was so long ago, I don't think.
Yeah, you kind of forget about it if you don't get it.
You go over to generalgiant.com, and OG will get a link or a photo or something up,
all those things
up there. And you look at this bust, and you tell me if it's not awesome, and if you are any kind of Boba Fett or Star Wars fan, that you have to have this bust. It is absolutely incredible. Each bust hand-painted and individually numbered with a certificate of authenticity. The deluxe packaging is the symbol? The Mandalorian symbol right on the tin.
Right.
Really, really terrific exclusive. I am ecstatic that they have more of these and are being that they're making available to
Absolutely.
Regular people. You don't hear about that a lot.
Well,
you don't hear a lot about San Diego exclusives. But when they come, like, for example, the one, I don't know if we talked about it. Did we talk about it last week or not? That
Hasbro something, right?
Mattel. Friday, I got the... the Batusi
Batman exclusive
for like $15 or whatever I paid for. It was amazing. It's rare that happens, and I understand that they had only a handful of those, so I can't imagine there's a lot of these left over as well. So if you put it out of your head last summer as something you couldn't get because it's beyond your reach, or you didn't go to San Diego, or you're not a member of their Premier Guild, which you absolutely should be
of course.
You like General Giant stuff,
This is your chance. This is your opportunity. Going to get some Christmas money. Going to get some Christmas gift cards. Here is the first place you can stop for a really, really quality product. It's going to be pretty rare, and it's going to be pretty hard to get. I'd say a year from now, we're looking at double that price
nice.
To purchase this. That's what I'm guessing. Right. So check it out. It's the Boba Fett Deluxe Minibus from Gentle Giant. And I wanted to bring this up a couple of weeks ago, and it just our schedule just got all messed up.
One other thing I wanted to bring up. We were going to have a contest
tonight.
Jim Ford, who's been a longtime fan of the show. He used to do a webcomic called Cowman, and the logo of the show was featured in a bunch, and we see him at all the New York cons. Good guy. But he also customized toys, and he has a custom baby deadbeat that we're going to be giving away on the show.
Really?
And I was going to announce it tonight, but I fear that with the 2-week break,
yeah, I don't know
that would hinder people entering. So I'm going to tease it that we will have the contest to kick off the new year. So look for that contest in the beginning of January. For the GVM line for when we get back.
425-920-6050.
I want the listeners of the show, of course, after Christmas, to call in and let us know some of the cool gifts that you got over the Christmas break, Hanukkah break, Kwanzaa break, exactly. whatever gifts you may have gotten during this festive holiday season.
Festivus.
And perhaps we will pick a winner at random. And we will have a prize for them. Separate from the baby deadbeat. We'll do something else.
There you go.
So
and something right out of OG's personal collection.
We'll see.
Yeah, it'll be personally given to that person.
There you go.
And I don't want to bore anyone.
I'm thinking an Amazon gift card, actually.
That's not bad.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm entering that contest.
As long as you use it.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. We will send you an Amazon gift card if you promise to use it through our link.
There you go. It's a good deal.
Everybody wins.
And to not bore anyone to death like I did on the last episode, I just want to thank Jack Floyd from Microsoft and no one else.
Fair enough.
I'm just going to leave it there.
Fair enough. You know, I've had some problems with some companies over the last couple of days, unfortunately.
Really? And the holiday season.
And I've decided that in addition to giving whatever poor schmuck picks up the phone when I call all cranky and angry,
yep,
I am now just shaming them on Twitter.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm just and I'm getting responses.
Getting responses. On Twitter, you have unlimited amount of time to do that.
That's right.
Except it has to be under 5 minutes.
I'm getting responses out of it, which is nice.
Yeah.
I'm actually making more progress shaming them on Twitter than I am yelling at them.
New method.
You legitimately did.
Totally serious.
Because their social media team are US-based, and they're the ones who work for the company directly. And when that shows up on someone's looking at their Twitter, it doesn't look good. So they work to resolve it.
And they also appreciate the value of the retweet and the favorite. Like, I was shaming one of my banks today on Twitter, and it got retweeted several times by several people who follow me. I think just because it was funny that I was shaming them.
Did the bank immediately contact you?
Immediately
contacted
me.
Immediately say, follow us so we can direct message you, please.
And then it was, we'll call you. And then it was a phone call. And then it was some sort of progress with my issue. Not fully resolved yet, but progress.
They do. They try.
So it was impressive.
It's the only way to go now.
Shaming people on Twitter. It's a shame that it's come to that.
Yeah, I know.
But it does work.
It's really sad.
Of course, you could hear that lovely wrap-up music playing in the background.
I hear it.
So don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have a handful of our episodes available for download.
Large handful.
returning in the new year, the wrap-up.
Nope.
That's done.
Nope.
Don't forget, of course, you could follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Of course, our YouTube channel, also BKGeekStuff. You could follow me on Twitter at GeekStuffOG.
ScapegoatGS.
Big Kev.
It's at BKGeekStuff, but no one really uses that one.
Nope.
So,
call us. What was that line again? I'll tell you. 425-920-6050.
And of course, if you don't catch us on our show, You can check us out on More Like Radio for the replays on Friday afternoon. Thank you for all of our listeners from over there.
Now with 300% better audio quality.
That's right. That's right. Audio quality has increased. I know that the intro has some issues. We are working on correcting that or possibly getting a new intro. Maybe in the new year.
What happened in the intro?
Let's put it this way. The audio quality problem that you heard before was not us.
Was not us.
So we've always been recording in glorious high definition.
That's right.
You just haven't necessarily been hearing it in glorious high definition.
So hopefully those problems are getting better, and we thank you for being patient with us through these troubling times.
Yes, as we little house our prairie, little house on the prairie, our way. Shut up.
You stink.
I think we have to stop soon because the computer wants some coal shoveled into it.
Yeah. I'm sick.
You're sick?
What? What are you looking at me for?
And with that, OG.
Oh. But it's, I don't want to go because I'll miss you guys.
You liar.
And with that, OG, we will end this episode and this year of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way we end all years and episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff by saying good night, Peter O'Toole, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.